I love playing indoors, and I am a big believer in indoor pickleball. You know, pickleball is more of a recreational game than it is, you know, like a sport like football or even tennis. Like, pickleball is, you know, I mean, people say, oh, pickleball is not a hard sport. Like, well, yeah, I'm one of the top pros, and I'm telling you that's true. It's more of an easy, fun game than it is a sport, and that's okay. I don't think that's a bad thing. This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah. All right, so we're back with another episode of my show. We are here in Las Vegas, actually. This is one of my favorite places. Maybe my favorite place, if you ask any of my friends, except now I'm here for good things. I'm here for a pickleball tournament, a little different than when I came in my college days. So anyway, yeah, I'm here at the Fountain Blue. We're actually playing a tournament on the sixth floor of the Fountain Blue, which is pretty awesome. So we'll see how this goes. Got some new partners here. I'm playing with my, actually my coach, guy who works with me and, you know, helps me a lot with my game, Max Freeman. So we were not originally, I wasn't originally going to play Las Vegas. And 3 days before the deadline, they said, you know, James, like, by the way, this is indoors at the Fountain Blue. I thought it was outdoors. I'm like, I'm not going to play outdoors in Vegas in August. It's going to be so hot. So found out it was indoors and, you know, picked up a couple of solid partners, and I'm playing mixed with Vivian Glossman, who's a rising player, who's playing super well. So super excited about that. So last weekend, actually, in Salt Lake City, I had a good tournament, and I got to the finals of both mixed doubles and men's doubles. So two silver medals. Super happy about that. Still haven't watched any of the matches back, so I don't actually know what happened. But yeah, I thought it was good. It was definitely a fun time. I love playing indoors, and I am a big believer in indoor pickleball. I think that indoor pickleball is, you know, pickleball is more of a recreational game than it is, you know, like a sport like football or even tennis. Like, pickleball is, you know, I mean, people say, oh, pickleball is not a hard sport. Like, well, yeah, I'm one of the top pros, and I'm telling you that's true. It's more of an easy, fun game than it is a sport, and that's okay. I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think that that actually lends itself to some more indoor play. There's less things that can go wrong. There's less wind. It's just easier. It's less hot. I think indoor pickleball is totally the future. I think it's way just more of an enjoyable experience, especially in the summer. So yeah, indoor pickleball is good. One of the things in Salt Lake that I definitely want to talk about is just at least one thing that I noticed is it seems like almost everyone at the higher levels now is doing two things. When they're on defense and they're in trouble, they're making the ball bounce in the middle. I've talked about that a lot, how important it is, I think, to make the ball bounce in the middle. So I'm not going to harp on it too much, but just a quick summary. When somebody is controlling the point against you, and I've seen this a ton at the 3-5 level, actually, we just taught a clinic at the Kitchen in Utah with you know, Britain. Great time there, super fun. We had a just a big clinic, and it's just such a good guy in charge of that facility, the Kitchen. So shout out to them. We taught that the day after the tournament in Salt Lake City, and it just it's really becoming more and more obvious that the future of pickleball, when you are on defense, when you're losing the rally, somebody's controlling the point and they're being aggressive, just making the ball bounce in the middle. If you watch the top pros, you know, the top men's doubles pros, you watch the best players in the world, there is a bunch of just dinking right in the middle. And I think in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, it's going to be just generally accepted, you know, just how it's taught to all new players. Hey, when you're in a tough spot, when you're on defense, just put the ball in the middle of the court. And I'm not going to harp on it too much, but something to be very aware of is if you pop the ball up, and obviously nobody wants to pop the ball up, But if you pop the ball up to the middle, you are significantly better off still having a chance to be in that point and still potentially winning that point than you are if you pop the ball up near the sidelines. That couldn't be more important. And just keep in mind, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. If you pop the ball up in the middle, the court is still effectively shrunk because let's say you pop the ball up. Well, if you're on the left and you're, you know, you pop it up to the middle, they still can't really go to the left of your left shoulder. And if you're on the right, you pop the ball up to the middle, they can't hit it hard to the right of your right shoulder because the geometry of the court, the ball will still go out. So the court is basically, I'd say, 25 to 30% smaller effectively for your opponent to hit into if they are hitting from the middle as opposed to the sideline. You pop the ball up to the sideline, they can burn you right down the line. Somebody's got to cover the middle, and then they can go hard angle cross court. And that hard angle cross court from sideline to sideline, you can actually hit that ball very hard because there's a ton of court going that way because of the geometry of the court, and you're going through the lowest part of the net, which is the middle. So if you pop the ball up to the sideline, you're in a tough spot. And I would just say that that's why super important to put the ball in the middle when you're on defense. I talk about this all the time, so we're going to just kind of move past it. The other thing that is becoming super, super prevalent that I'm seeing at the top of the pro game is the drive-drop combo. So you drive the third, you drop the fifth. And I think that's because the returns are getting better and better because the paddles are getting more powerful. And if somebody hits a hard return to you, I highly recommend driving that ball instead of dropping. And a lot of players, I ask them at the clinic, I'm like, guys, if you know, somebody hits a good return to you, do you want to, like a good deep return, you're on defense, do you want to drive that ball or drop it? And then they say, well, you want to drop it. You know, you don't want to be driving the ball off of a hard return. It doesn't make sense. Just try to play defense and drop it. No, it's counterintuitive. The shorter the return is, if it's an easy return, unless it's high, if it's a high short return, just drive it. But if it's a low short return, you drop it. If it's a deep return and just a good quality return, I would drive that one. Because if you drive the third, keep it low and preferably to the middle, I would say, or to the person coming in, then their fourth is going to be weaker, most likely, and you will have an easier chance at dropping the fifth than you would have had at that third. So that's another super important factor here. It's easier to drop a fifth. Also, in my personal opinion, because once you've already driven that third, you're more engaged in the point, you're a little loose, you already hit a ball or two if you hit a serve, and then you have a fifth, and it's, I actually find it also a little bit easier to hit that, to drop the fifth as opposed to the third, because the other person is closer to you who has hit that ball to you. So what that means is, you know, if somebody hits a return to you, they're hitting it from the baseline. They're all the way over there. The ball's got all that time to come to you. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to miss this third. And then you might. This might be just my personal problem. But if you hit a drive to somebody, they're at the net or at the kitchen, comes right back to you. There's a little less time. And it's, my personal opinion, a little easier to drop that fifth. And there's always also the chance, I mean, if you drive it through the middle, that it might just go through the middle, especially at the lower levels. Middle confusion, huge problem. And there's also a chance that they miss the fourth, that volley. If you just try to drop your third, well, you kind of lose out on that whole opportunity of them missing their fourth shot volley, some crazy stuff happening in the middle. There's a lot of different factors here. So I think putting that extra ball in play by just making a third shot drive low, you don't have to crush it, just keep it low, I think it helps a lot. So we're also going to talk about some interesting stuff happening. There are some new serve rules, and I actually definitely want your opinion in the comments here. This is going to be something that I we'll look at and hopefully relay to some people. They're making some, I would say, no, they're not making changes yet, but they're talking about different rules to de-weaponize the serve. So if you go on Twitter. All right, so now I'm here to talk to you guys about Selkirk backpacks. I probably shouldn't have to talk to you about them. I mean, you see them, you know, it's enough of an ad to see them at all these tournaments. I mean, it seems like everybody's got one, and I actually think they're the best. You know, I'm always begging Rob to send me more. I've got like four or five backpacks. They last so long too. I think the biggest thing about Selkirk backpacks is that they're really durable, especially with me. I mean, I'm putting as many paddles as possible in the backpacks. I've got gallons of coffee in the backpacks, sweaty shirts. I've done everything possible that you shouldn't do to a backpack, to a Selkirk backpack, and I've had it now for 2 years. So I'm a huge proponent of the Selkirk
backpacks. I think the Tourline ones especially are very good. They look cool. They look sleek. I personally like the black ones. I'm known to bring two of them on court every match. So yeah, these are just my personal opinions on the Selkirk backpacks. I also think the team line is good. And yeah, I think if you want one, get one, because they're going to last you quite a while. And they also look pretty cool. And they don't necessarily just look like a pickleball backpack either. I mean, I can wear them pretty much and bring them wherever, and it doesn't really, you know, it kind of just fits in with any other backpack that you would have. So
there was you know, at the Bristol PPA, a lot of refs and a lot of players like testing this new rule. They weren't actually doing it for competition, but they were testing it in rec play, where they have a line that's about 4 feet inside of the baseline, and that line creates a box between that line and the kitchen line, and that is where you have to serve the ball into. So you cannot, with this new rule, serve the ball from that line to the baseline. So basically it eliminates the deep serve, and it in a way de-weaponizes the serve for sure. And that's just one of the ways that the PPA, or I guess pickleball in general, is thinking of de-weaponizing the serve. It seems to be a pretty hot topic, trying to take away the advantage of the server, because the serves have gotten pretty powerful. So I would just like to, you guys know my opinion. I think that the serve should and can be a weapon, obviously. But this is mostly just for me to ask you guys. I want you in the comments to tell me, do you think the serve is, one, too much of a weapon in pickleball? Is it a problem that needs to be fixed? Should it be de-weaponized, whether it's forcing everybody to use the drop serve or making, you know, eliminating the deep serve, something of that nature? Or is the serve something that, hey, if you work on the serve and you, this is my opinion too, let's say you work on it, spend time, you know, just trying to perfect your serve, because it is a shot in pickleball that you want to get better at, that you should be rewarded for it, and it can be a weapon. So just let me know, does the serve need to be de-weaponized? I don't think so. I think that a good, powerful serve is something that you can work for, and I think almost anybody can have one. It's not something like in tennis where, if you know, you need to be tall to have a hard serve because it's overhand. In pickleball, it's underhand. You can be a small person and still ripping the serve if you've got the right technique and you do the right things, you practice the right way. It's an equal opportunity shot. So yeah, that's my personal opinion. Do we need to de-weaponize the serve? Let me know. Second thing too, maybe this is the third thing actually before we go. One thing that I noticed was when players were speeding up from farther to the sideline in Salt Lake, at least from what I watched. I didn't watch any of my own matches. I watch everybody else's matches first. The farther or closer to the sideline that the ball was, so the farther out wide that speed up was being hit from, it seemed to be more successful. So I think, and this is an interesting one, right? I mean, and I personally feel like speeding it up close to the sideline is easier. I feel like I am more successful with a speed up the wider it is, if that makes sense. And if that doesn't make sense to you, you know, ask me in the comments and I'll explain it. And it's interesting because you're going over the higher part of the net. So you would think that maybe it wouldn't be successful or as successful as one through the middle, but you do have more angles. If you speed up from wider, you actually can hit a speed up through the middle harder. So that's another good tidbit rule of thumb for you to take away from this podcast. Remember that the wider that you are contacting the ball closer to that sideline, the harder you can hit a speed up through the middle, because there is more court going that way. If you speed a ball up from the middle through the middle, you have a less court, probably a less, you know, maybe the net is lower, but there's a less, you know, 4 feet less of space. So the wider you are, I would actually go through the middle more often with my speed ups than I would be going right down the sideline. So keep that in mind. If you speed up from sideline to sideline, which is something that you can do, you can go right down that sideline. You just can't hit it that hard, because there's the shortest amount of court, right? You're just going straight. If you're straight on, that's less court than if you go across the court, obviously, and you're going over the highest part of the net if you're going sideline to sideline. A lot of people miss that one long for that reason, so keep that in mind. So if you are, though, going from sideline to middle, you can hit that one hard. I rarely miss that one deep. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And that is pretty much it. If you guys have any questions about Salt Lake, let me know. Super happy, super proud about the double silver. Obviously, we want to win gold, but it's a great tournament nonetheless. And we are looking forward to Vegas here. So, yeah, that's all we got for today. Thank you for tuning in. See you later.